Number four, I too was slothful in praying. Rather than being spiritually alert as I should have been, I fell asleep. And as a consequence, I fell into the very temptation that I was warned about. Who am I? Peter. Five, I had the habit of falling asleep when I should have been fleeing from temptation. My enjoyment of inappropriate sleep cost me my spiritual and physical vision. Who am I? Samson. Yeah. Somebody said he had a haircut in the devil's barbershop.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Nobody Woke Me Up. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Nobody Woke Me Up.
Will desire to be about anything, poverty will be on the way. And then you know what? He said, not only is like a person that travels, but it's also like an armed man or a robber. So, you know, this is the picture that the writer of Proverbs is trying to give us, that poverty slowly creeps up on you. It slowly creeps up on you. But then how does that robber come? That robber comes and he hits you, boom, just like that. And you can't resist it. You are unprepared. And God is telling us that we need to do something. We need to be about something, so that poverty does not come upon us like a bandit, like a robber, and just take us over. You know, and once again, I'm not up here preaching a prosperity message. I'm not up here telling you about some pie in the sky. I'm just telling you that we need to, and see, this is the problem. You know, many people want a free ride. And because they want the free ride, they're waiting for something to fall down out of the sky. Well, more likely than not, it's not going to fall out of the sky. The only way you're going to get it, it's like James Brown said, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door and I'll get it myself. And see, that's what we got to be about. We got to be about moving in the right direction, not about a handout. This thing is about a hand up and not going into poverty, but experiencing the prosperity of God in our lives. Well, what are some of the results of not waking up? Well, let me share these with you very quickly. Number one is what I call disaffirmation. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means to do something that's contrary to what it is you're supposed to do. God wants you to be alert. God wants you to be up. God wants you to be moving. God wants you to be about something. And if you are in a state of spiritual lethargy, if you are in a state of mental slothfulness, if you are in a state of physical sleep all the time, then you are not going to be doing what God called you to do. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took some of his choice disciples with him, and he said, watch and pray. He said, watch and pray and don't enter into temptation. He came back and looked, and the disciples had fallen asleep. Now, what had he told them to do? He told them to pray. He came back again. They were still asleep. He woke them up. Came back a third time. They were still asleep. And then look what he says to them in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. They were asleep. He woke them up twice. So they couldn't use the excuse, nobody woke me up. He woke them up two times. And they went back to sleep. And they were doing the exact opposite of what it was that he wanted them to do. And see, if we are not on the alert, then we are not awake to the things that God wants us to do, and we end up doing the exact opposite thing. See, in order for you to be do the things that God wants you to do, you've got to be tuned in, you've got to be alert, and you've got to be spiritually aware. You can't be asleep. If you continue to sleep, I believe for some people, God has just come and he just says, sleep on, sleep on. because you're not going to wake up. You're not going to be alert. Well, the second thing is what I call disassociation. The first one is disaffirmation, and now this is disassociation. And what does that mean? That means to end an association, that you will be cut off from the blessings of God. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 wise had oil. 5 foolish didn't have oil. And look, and the scripture said, we're not going to take time to read. You can read it on your own. But it says that when the bridegroom came, what were they doing? They were asleep. They were asleep. When the bridegroom came, they were sleeping. And he woke them up. And the 5 wise virgins went on into the marriage because they had oil for their lamps. And the 5 foolish ran to get oil for their lamps. And when they finally got it, they came and knocked on the door. He said, you can't get in here. It's too late. And people that continue to sleep disassociate themselves with the blessings of God. Man, you miss out on so many opportunities when you continue to nod and you continue to sleep. You know, I see some folk, man, they stay out, they party half the night or all the night, and then which is a waste of time. And then they come in and they sleep all day. What a waste. What a waste of a life. Oh, I was at a function last night where we had a good time. Had a nice little dinner. Had praise and worship. Had a nice message. Some good fellowship. Man, I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. And so there's nothing wrong with having a good time and fellowshipping. But when you're out there doing the wrong thing, you're out there living in sin and drunkenness and carousal and all that kind of stuff, and then you stay all night doing that, committing all kind of wickedness and sin, and then you come home and sleep half the day away. Woo! Man, you are disassociating yourself with God's blessings. Man, God has some great things in store for you. God has some tremendous blessings that he wants to give you. And people disassociate themselves from the blessing of God. They knock on the door and they, Lord, you know, I'm trying to get this job, Lord. And Lord, I need you to help me. But you've disassociated yourself from God. You've blown it. You've stepped aside. You've missed the opportunity to come into his presence. You've missed the opportunity to go with him to the wedding. You've missed the opportunity to enjoy the blessings, and now you want to get in. Man, you're squandering the time. You've disassociated yourself. A third thing, disqualification. Disqualification. And what is that? To be the word disqualify means to be deprived of power. To lose something. You once had some power, or you once had some ability, and you've lost that. Samson fell in love with Delilah. And 2 times she tricked him to try to find out where his strength was. And he told her a lie the first 2 times. The 3rd time, she got him because he fell asleep in her lap. Nobody woke him up. She didn't even wake him up. The person that he opened his heart up to, the person that he gave himself over to, didn't wake him up, but cut his hair and called the Philistines in, and they took Samson, they poked out both of his eyes, they chained him, and they made him to grind at the mill. He was disqualified. Now, here was a guy, the strongest man probably to ever live, the strongest man identified in the Bible. Here he was, all this strength, able to pick up a whole city gate, able to kill 1,000 foxes and tie their tails together or lifetime together. Able to just do great feats of strength. And because he fell asleep in the lap of Delilah, he was disqualified. He lost the power that was rightfully due his. Man, you lose power when you continue to sleep. When you continue to miss opportunities, when you continue to let opportunity after opportunity go by because you are asleep. Yo, that old expression is still true. It's the early bird that gets the worm. That's still true. You know, folk coming in, you know, looking for a job. You're supposed to be there a certain time. You come in late. Well, you done blown it already. Then you're going to find an excuse to blame somebody else. You're just like the guy who went in looking for a job. The brother went in looking for a job. He had on high heel shoes and stockings. He had lipstick on. He had a wig on. It's all crooked on his head. And he didn't get the job. And he went to the employer. He said, "It's because I'm black, huh?" No, it's not because she's black. Man, some folk are disqualified because they don't want to do what it takes to get up, get ready, be about something. Oh, let me talk to the young folk for a second. Now, you know what? I know it's the style. I know certain things are the style. I know certain things are the style. And you know, you go ahead and style. But young brothers and sisters, when you go looking for a job and you go trying to make some money and trying to get an edge on somebody else that's in competition with the job, go in presentable. Go in presentable. Don't go in looking like Pookie and Boo Boo. Be about something. You know, I'm not saying you got to go in and put a tie on and a suit and have your patent leather. I'm not saying, but go in, man. Try to impress somebody. Try to go in like you're about something. Don't go in like you don't half want the job. Don't go in like, you know, you're saying to him, "Well, you know what? You need to hire me just because of who I am." No, you need to do something. Don't disqualify yourself. Man, we got folk disqualifying themselves and wondering why they can't get what they need to get. Wake up. Wake up. Don't go to sleep in Delilah's lap. She'll cut your hair and strip you of your power. This commendation. Well, what is that? That is to disapprove. To disapprove. David. It was a time when kings went out to war. A time when the kings were supposed to be out there on the battlefield. But where was David? David was asleep. And he got up about eventide in the afternoon, late afternoon. And we all know the story that he ended up having a relationship with another man's wife, got her pregnant, ended up having her husband killed. And one thing led to another, and God became displeased with David. David had experienced the discommendation of God, that God, he was disapproved by God. As a matter of fact, you know how we know that David was disapproved by God? Because David continued on, and David continued to do his own thing, and Nathan the prophet came, told him a parable, got in his face, and David fell on his knees and repented, and then the prophet told him, "You're not going to die now." God was going to kill him. Why? Because, and I think this was a reflection of his heart, he was supposed to be somewhere, and he was chilling in the crib. He was supposed to be somewhere, and he was asleep. He was kicked back. The man of God was kicked back, and he became discommendated by God. He was disapproved by God. Oh, you know what? There's a whole lot of people that, I mean, and I want people to think of well of me as they can. But you know what? There's one person that I don't want to be disapproved by. Oh, there's one that I want to do my best to approve. And I'm not going to do it by being a sluggard. I'm not going to do it by being slothful. That I have to be about something and doing what it is the Lord would have me to do. And then finally, there's what I call discontinuation. And what does it mean to discontinue something? It means to terminate, to terminate. And here we have our good friend Eutychus, who was listening to Paul preach. He was sitting in the window, like some of y'all right now. On the nod. On the nod. Like I said, praise God. Praise God for one story churches. Amen. Amen. Brother fell out the window and died. Now we know that's not the end of the story. But he died. He fell out the window and died. Why? Because he fell asleep He was discontinued. He was terminated. And here, once again, many opportunities in life are terminated or ended because people sleep through them. Many opportunities are terminated because you sleep through them. Oh, God, don't let us sleep through opportunities. Let us take advantage of opportunities. Well, let me go to the second part of the message, and we'll close with this. And I'm going to ask that you would open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And we'll conclude today. Proverbs, chapter 6, in verse 6, he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her food in summer and gathereth her food in harvest." Let me say five things about this, and I'm done. Ants are self-directed. Ants are self-motivated. Ants are self-accountable. Ants are self-concerned. And ants are self-sufficient. He says here, first of all, that ants are self-directed. Look what it says. Having no guide. The ants don't have a guide. The ants don't have somebody to say, this is the way that you go. This is what you need to be about. This is what you need to do. The ants don't have that. But they are successful. Why? Because they are self-directed. They don't need anybody to wake them up. You know why? Because they got a purpose for getting up. They got a purpose for going. You know, folk that are slothful and continue to, as Proverbs, turn this way, turn that way, turn this way. You don't have any direction. You have no purpose. When you can continue to do that hour after hour after hour, when you need to be up doing something. You know, if you got some goals and some purpose in life, you know, for me, you know, if nothing more in the morning, if nothing more in the morning, when my alarm goes off at 10 minutes to 5, I get up just to go read my Bible. I got some purpose. Now, sometimes I get a little sleepy. All right, y'all, somebody know what I'm talking about. Have some kind of purpose. Have some kind of direction. You know, even if you don't have employment, man, discipline yourself. And make sure that you have some purpose so that you don't fall into bad habits and bad patterns. The ant doesn't have a guide. The ant doesn't have anybody to give it direction. The ant just knows what to do. The ant is self-guided. The second thing we see is that ants are self-motivated. It says that the ants have no overseer. You know, that word overseer is a very interesting word. Because in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 6, remember where it says that the Israelites had hard taskmasters? And they drove them to get those bricks. And they drove them to make those bricks. And it said that there was officers over those taskmasters. So the people who were driving the Hebrews, there was actually officers over them. And these officers were called, guess what? Overseers. Overseers. So what is this saying? That the ant doesn't have somebody over him at the child cracking the whip. The ant doesn't have somebody over him with a stick poking him in the side. The ant don't need an overseer. The ant is self-motivated. The ant sees what it wants. The ant is stirred within his spirit. The ant is motivated to go out and grab a hold of it. Would the God give us some folk that are motivated, that see some things in life, that not only have some direction and some purpose in life, but have some motivation to go out and do it. And sometimes you ask folks, well, what's your goal in life? 5 o'clock. Well, why is that your goal? Because that's when I get off. That's all the goal they got. All the purpose in life. Man, see, when you're about something, you don't need somebody. You don't need somebody to wake you up. Nobody woke me up. You don't need somebody to wake you up because you are stirred in your spirit. You are motivated because you want to become a better person, because you want to become all that you can be. And you are motivated to go out. The ants have no guide. They have nobody to give them direction. They have no overseer, nobody to motivate them. And they have no ruler, no ruler, nobody that they're accountable to. They are self-accountable. They know what they got to do, and they're not worried about somebody coming with a pen and paper going to check over their work. But they are motivated. They know what they got to do, and they're about what it is they're supposed to be doing. They have no ruler over them that is saying, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you fulfill the quota today? Did you do all the things that was on that to-do list today? They have nobody to do that. But they are self-accountable. They realize that every day they got to stand. Now, once again, let me say this, because I don't want anybody to take me wrong, because we could very easily preclude and say, well, you're leaving God out, Pastor. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. See, the problem is that many of us want to say, well, I'm just trusting God. And you're supposed to be doing something. You're supposed to be doing something. We're waiting on God. We're going to wait on God. No, you're supposed to be doing something while you're waiting. What is a waiter? You go to the restaurant. A waiter. What did the waiter say? Well, I'm waiting. You wouldn't get any food. Thank God for the waiter that waits on you. So we're waiting. Once again, we don't jump out of God's will, but we are busy. We are busy about something, doing something. And so the ants have no ruler. They have no one. And you know what? At the end of the day, and I know you got to stand before God. I know that. And I've already said that earlier. But at the end of the day, you got to look in that mirror. And you got to look at yourself. And you got to hold yourself accountable. And you got to say, have I done all that I could have done today? Or was I a sluggard? Or was I slothful? The ant is self-accountable. The ants are self-concerned. Look what it says here. They provide food in the summer. See, the ant, you know how the ant don't need anybody to wake him up? Because he knows that if he don't get busy in the summer, there ain't nothing happening in the fall. Some people need that reality. Sometimes I think people have it too easy. And they got it so easy that, they just think they can lay back and chill, and they don't need to be concerned about preparing and doing what they need to do to equip themselves, because there's a future coming, because there's something down the road. But the ants provide food in the summer. They are busy in the summer doing all that they can, planting and watering and weeding and all this other kind of stuff. Why? Because they know that there's a future coming. Don't need anybody to wake them up. And then finally, ants are self-sufficient. All right, once again, not apart from God, are we self-sufficient? We depend on God. But from the standpoint that the ants go out and they gather the food, it says that she gathers her food in the harvest. And people that are self-sufficient, they don't need anybody to wake them up, because they know that getting up means that they're taking care of their business. They know that there's business I got to be about. Now, here once again, I've read all the studies on sleep, and I know that there's all these studies out saying that you need this so much sleep. And that's fine. I agree with that. But you know what you need. You'll get what you need. All right? But then be about doing what God would have you to do. Be self-directed. Be self-motivated. Be self-accountable. Be self-concerned, and be self-sufficient in the good way. And you won't need anybody.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Bumping Heads with the Other Saints. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Nobody Woke Me Up, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Nobody Woke Me Up. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Nobody Woke Me Up. Or call us at 877-831-5060 When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.